Hello, you're listening to Queer Everything, a queer of color podcast about thriving in the world while being at odds with it. I'm Lina Rafiq Sheikh.
This is the second part of my interview with Dr. Mohammed Mertaban, a very publicly out gay Arab Muslim man who's also a father. If you haven't listened to part one, I encourage you to do so. He talks about his early awareness of being queer, his immersion in his religious community, feeling pressure to get married to a woman, and ultimately how he came to reconcile his faith with his queerness. In this episode, we talk about how he came out to his wife, to his immediate family, his children, and his religious community. We also talk about the joy of leaning into his authentic self and finding queer community, and the beautiful blended family configuration that he's a part of now. I have a lot of respect for Mo and the fierce, even defiant authenticity with which he lives his life, and for the fact that it was really hard won. I was deeply moved by his story, his warmth, and his open-hearted sharing, and I hope that this finds its way to the people who need to hear it. We pick up this conversation just as he's about to disclose to his now ex-wife that he is gay. Welcome.
This was all in Vermont.
This was all in Vermont, yeah.
And then at this point, had you also told her, is it just the renegotiating of your relationship with religion and faith that you had disclosed to her, or had you told her that you thought you were gay?
So at that point, it was purely a spiritual kind of rediscovery. Mm-hmm. And then, mm-hmm. But during that couple of months, once that conversation happened about me still being Muslim, it was very easy for me to come out. And I was like, that's what I needed. I needed to just know that I can still be Muslim and be gay. And a month later, I came out to her. And, you know, she was devastated. And so was I, because I think both of us knew what was coming. We tried a lot. We tried to like figure out how we can salvage our relationship. Like maybe we could stay in an open marriage, you know, maybe we could just stay married, you know, even though I was gay. And I don't know, we tried figuring out so many things that to try to keep us together. But in the end, I think as time continued to move along over the next couple of months, we realized that divorce was just inevitable, and that our marital relationship would no longer continue and shouldn't, because the other big thing that I was thinking in my effort to kind of prioritize her life was she's young and she's still beautiful and she's hot and she can still get married and have a very long, fruitful relationship with someone if she wanted, you know? And so that was one of the reasons why I felt pretty strongly about, you know, after coming out, I felt like it was important for us to just get a divorce. So we got a divorce. And I think at that point, my sexuality took a seat back, because I was just dealing with the emotional turmoil of being divorced from my companion who I loved. And also the guilt of divorcing her, frankly, because in my mind, I'm like, I ruined her life for 10 years. And, you know, if you talk to her, she would never say that, because she's an angel and she is so selfless and so kind and so wonderful and would never ever, she understood why I did what I did. And not a single day did she ever ask me, like, why did you do this to me? And to me, that just represents such strength and character. And her ability to empathize with me was unlike anything I had ever seen. She became extremely empathetic while also, I think both of us, it was just like a hard position, because like I was trying to come out and getting a divorce at the same time. She was going through a divorce and trying to support me at the same time. And I was trying to support her. I was just like a lot. So we got a divorce and I knew at that point I was going to come out. Like, and she encouraged me. And when I say come out, like come out publicly.
Okay.
And but I wanted to do it methodically out of in a way to like at least preempt our families.
Right.
And so we talked about it for a long time, and we ended up deciding to, she was kind enough to be next to me at every single stage of me coming out. She, when it came out to my mom and my dad, she sat right next to me. When it came out to my siblings, she was next to me. When I came out to her family, she was next to me. So she stood and defended me despite us going through a divorce the entire time. She was still showing love. And my coming out to my family was not a walk in the park. I initially decided to come out to my sister first, my youngest sister, thinking that I would ease my way into coming out. And I thought my sister would have the most kind of like accepting reaction. Ironically, it went the polar opposite. She was so pissed off at me. Wow. And part of it was because she lived with my parents still. And she knew immediately, her mind went to my mom and my dad. And she knew that they were going to suffer from this and that she was going to have to see it.
Okay.
In that point, it was kind of about her. But I think the way I was coming out to my family was like, I wanted to come out to my family, but I truly value my family. I love my family. I love my siblings. I love my parents. And even though I was coming out to them, I still wanted a relationship with them. Growing up Arab, you know, and Muslim, your family is your bloodline. And, you know, my parents sacrificed a lot for me to come to the States. They sacrificed a lot for me to go to medical school. And, you know, they're so proud of the person I've become today. But they have, you know, I do vehemently disagree with how they, you know, their like view on life and when it comes to religion and spirituality and specifically sexuality. But that being said, I still love them, you know? So when I was coming out to my family, despite it kind of being about me, I was also willing to make it about them too. And sacrificing, even at that point, like some of my own happiness in coming out to making it easier for them to kind of swallow. So I came out to my sister, and then I came out to my brother. I came out to my other sister, and I came out to my mom. And then 6 months later, I came out to my dad. I won't go into details as to how each person reacted out of respect for my family. But what I will say is that it was not easy at all. And I think till this day, they don't know how I handled their reactions. I would, you know, put up a very strong exterior in front of them. And then when, you know, on my own, would just like crumble, thinking that my relationship with my family was gone, thinking that my mom and dad were going to disown me. I even one point was like fearful for my own life. And my siblings put a lot of blame on me. So it was a very like torturous coming out. But despite all of that, I still wanted to proceed with, because I knew that I would rather live authentically and happy as an out person, knowing that the first 2 years of my coming out, or like the first period, was going to be hard. Like it wasn't, and it's not hard on easy to come, anyone to come out. So knowing that like my reward would be later now, you know, like very thankful for, very happy. So then I came out to Ferda, to my ex's family. And ironically, they were all very supportive and happy and kind.
Wow.
Yeah.
Okay. Wow.
I did not expect that from them.
Wow.
And I came out to a bunch of my friends in medical school, and not a single person in medical school said anything that made me feel self-conscious. They all knew my ex. They were friends with her. They knew my kids. They knew our family. We were like one of the only families in the entire class. And so everyone knew the medical student with kids, you know? So people were very close and invested, and they were very, very kind. And when I came out, every single person just showed the most support, unconditional love. And I felt like I even became so much closer to people at that point. people I wasn't even that close to.
Right.
And then I felt like at one point, despite my family saying, you shouldn't do this, you shouldn't do this, you shouldn't do this, I really needed to. I wanted to tell everyone. Mm. And part of it was utilizing my position in the community, knowing that I had a pretty large sphere of influence. A lot of people knew me because of, you know, what I did in the past and what I was involved with. And frankly, wanted to utilize my like platform to be able to just say that being a gay Muslim is okay. And it was for that, like, it's for those like 16-year-old little boys who are confused, just like I was. And, you know, the girls who are completely told in the community that they are not sexual beings and they have feelings for girls. And I felt like at that point I needed to, if I had someone in the community that was able to just simply say, I'm gay and Muslim and this is okay, I might have not had this pathway in my life. So I felt like I had a responsibility, and I was nervous, extremely nervous and scared to come out publicly, but I felt like it needed to be done. This is back in 2015. I came out publicly on Facebook. Facebook was like the primary. I know everyone, like, no one really uses Facebook anymore, but back then everyone was using it. And so I wrote a long post basically describing my journey and my story, albeit a very shortened version, but one where the people that read the post could hear my own version and my own story from me. And what I hoped was that some would see my pathway as a almost like proof, like, this is real. You know, like, being gay is real. It is not a choice. Because, and the way the reason I say this is because in the Muslim community, there's tons of people in the Muslim community till this day that believe that being gay is a choice that you have. You have a choice that you have. You know, your queerness and your gender is like a choice. That, like, these are not choices, you know, like, it was not a choice. I actively went against my choice, my, like, quote unquote choice. And so I was hoping that through the relationships that I had developed with people and through the friendships and the strength of those friendships, that people would be changed. And to be honest, a lot of people did respond in that way. And people messaged me being like, I never, ever, ever thought Muslims could be gay. These are like American-born, raised UCLA grads who interact with the world. In 2015, this is like 8 years ago. So it's not even that long ago, who, like, I didn't know Muslims could be gay. I didn't know Muslims were gay. Like, you know, and it just, I think, comes to show you what kind of rock people live under. But the reality, so, and I would say the overwhelming majority of kind of responses I got were fairly positive and supportive, including those from Muslims. And the way I like to think about it is, like, the naysayers, who I didn't really care, to be honest, about, just didn't respond and didn't say anything to me. There were some, you know, for the next year, until this day, sometimes I still get these messages. There are people, like, people that called me that I hadn't, you know, heard from them in like 8 or 9 or even like 20 years, whatever, from college, who were like, oh, I heard you came out and I just wanted to remind you that, like, Allah is watching and that,
very good,
you know, and that this is not the right path for you, and all of these, like, kind of nasty things that, and my response to that was like, you know, you are kind of preaching to the choir, right? Because I was there. And I did this despite knowing all of that. So I'm not sure why you feel the need to come to me and tell me what you think I should be doing. The other thing, that another common, like, response was actually one of my best friends at that point. He told me that I abandoned my children and my family. And in my mind, I was doing, like, the polar opposite. I was, like, setting an example for my kids to be their authentic, true, unapologetic, like, good people selves, you know, good selves. Like, they didn't need to succumb to anyone else's power, and they needed to respect their own selves and to not have as much, to not grow up with as much guilt and shame around their identities like I did. Mm-hmm. And so those, I would say those were the most hurtful comments when people would talk about me abandoning my ex-wife and my children. And I think some of the other hurtful things, like some people were like, I can't believe that you're a pediatrician that works with children.
Oh, wow. That's low.
Very, very low. And these were very, very close family members that said this. Mm. And people even commented on the fact that, you know, your coming out will prevent your youngest sister from getting married because no other families want to be associated with your family because of you. And so, you know, I look back at these things and in the moment, I was just like, whatever, like brushing it off my shoulder because I was like a very strong, resilient person. And I knew that coming out, it was not going to be easy. You know, a lot of like my, a lot of my like, you know, friends from medical school and stuff, when I came out, the most common question that people asked me was, do you feel this like weight lifted off of your shoulder? Mm. And my immediate response was no. Because when I came out, it wasn't like a lot of like people who come out to their families who grew up in the United States, you know, like, oh, it's like rainbows and my son is gay and my daughter is a lesbian. Like it wasn't any of that. It was like me still almost still closeted still. Like I wasn't entirely fully out because I couldn't be myself in front of my own family members. Right. And I had to be closeted and kind of hide that new side of myself in front of all of my family. So, and then the guilt of just like coming out and the shock of it and everyone finding out and the people like, you know, it just like spread like wildfire. And I was getting messages left and right from random Muslims, like my siblings were saying, is your brother gay? Your brother came out, like all these like things that people were saying. So once all of that kind of like dissipated, the shock was gone, then I started truly enjoying being gay. It took honestly like 3 years. It took being into residency before I started being comfortable in my own skin.
So at what point did you connect with other queer people?
In Vermont.
And what was that like?
Yeah, there was a couple of like queer people in my class that I became close friends with. And there was actually a couple that are now are some of my best friends that I, every time I see them, I just like, my heart is so happy and feels so warm. It's a couple, him and his husband, who I went to medical school with. When I came out, they were my chosen family. Like one of my, they welcomed me into their home. They talked to me about their own relationship. They had been married for 10 years. They, taught me what it, they like kind of like showed me the ropes. They took me to my first Pride in Montreal. Oh my God, it was so lovely. Yeah. I got to see Justin Trudeau, who's kind of a dreamboat. And I went to, I think it was people like that that truly showed me the sweetness in being queer and identifying as queer and the importance of having people around you that truly support you for who you are and not, you know, how religious you are. And those, I think those two humans were very quintessential to my growth as a gay man. We've become even closer since then. We're both on the West Coast. They live in LA and I see them pretty often and we just celebrate life together, you know? And I think that when I moved to San Francisco for residency, you know, San Francisco is like a queer haven. Everyone's a little gay in San Francisco. And the first thing I did was I joined a gay volleyball league. I love, I played volleyball for like years growing up. So I was very excited. And I remember the first time I walked into a gym and I saw all these, it was a gay volleyball men's league. Actually, no, there was some women. I walked in and I saw all these like, queers everywhere just living their authentic self, wearing their booty shorts and their pink tank tops with like different colors in their hair and screaming, bitch, girl, you know, like all these crazy things. And I immediately fell to the ground and started crying.
Aww.
I was kind of a hot mess.
Yeah.
Because it was to me, this moment was surreal. It was absolutely surreal. I never, ever in a million years thought I would be in a gym with all queer people playing volleyball, or just like in a gym surrounded by queer people, just all being themselves, like authentically proud. And I had flashbacks to like the times when I would create structure around my life where I would continue to stay closeted, you know, like getting married, getting involved in the Muslim community, doing those things. And knowing that where I am now was, you know, back in 2017 now, was so different than where I was. And I was so thankful, so incredibly thankful to be where I was and have the ability to kind of just like be out.
Mm-hmm. How about now with your family, your kids specifically? How did it go?
Coming out to them?
Mm-hmm.
Oh.
And then navigating things after the divorce. Because, you know, when we talked earlier, you told me about like your current family situation, which is like this beautiful, you know, hard one, of course, but beautiful, blended sort of situation.
Yeah. Yeah. So coming out to my kids was the scariest thing to me, period. Like hands down. Scarier than coming out to Firdaus, to my ex. It was scarier than coming out to like my family. And they found out a year after. So I kept it. I just wasn't ready. You know, I wasn't ready to come out to them. And I was getting so much messaging about abandoning them from like my own family, from my friends. So I had to kind of like let that go and separate myself and continue to tell myself that this is not what I was doing. And when I told my kids at that point were 8 and 5. So 3.5 years apart in age, but kind of like a lot in terms of comprehension. The 8-year-old was in 4th grade and the 5-year-old was in kindergarten. So I decided to tell them separately. I told my oldest, we went on the car ride and I had asked them, do you know what the word gay means? And they said, yes. And I'd never talked to them about this ever. So I was shocked. And we're in Vermont. So Vermont is like a liberal state, but still very culturally conservative. You know, like people are super loving and kind and open-minded, but there's just not that many of anything there.
Right.
So, and they said, you know, being gay is when two people of the same gender love each other. And I honestly, I like was floored. Speechless, like did not know that a 4th grader could identify or could define something so beautifully. And it was all based off of love. And so I immediately stared at them and said, I wish there are so many adults that need to hear you say that. Because so many people, you know, still don't even know how to define the word gay. And so I said, where'd you learn that from? And they told me that they had a friend in class who had two moms. And when they see the two moms, they're always like holding hands and they love each other and they're very cute and very coupley. And they said to me that that was how they identified, you know, the word gay. And so I said, what would you say if someone close to you was gay? And they told me that it would be a non-issue. And then they asked me, who was it? And I said, it's me. And they looked at me. By the way, I say they because my oldest is non-binary and they use they, them pronouns. And they looked at me and were completely confused. And they said, Baba, I'm really confused. And I was like, that's a totally appropriate reaction. And I said, I was super confused for a very, very long time. And now I'm not. And I hope that you're able to, you know, come to this, to similar like clarity. And they asked me, I proceeded to tell them like a very shortened version of why I never came out when I was younger and touched on my relationship with my parents and my religion and touched on why I ended up marrying their mom and then touched on and then talked about why I ended up coming out now. And they stared out the window for the longest time. And mind you, my oldest is like not a... They're a lot better at expressing their emotion now. But when they were younger, they were kind of like a very even child. Never too happy, never too sad, super easygoing. But this is one time where I saw that they were clearly very confused. I spent a lot of time, by the way, reading blogs from different parents on how they came out to their children, specifically fathers. and kind of came up with the idea that I needed to come out to them separately than tell them about the divorce, because I didn't want them to associate being gay with something bad, you know? And so some people, what they did was they came out to their children, and then their children kind of realized naturally that, oh, dad's gay. He's only attracted to men. He's not attracted to mom. Mm-hmm. This relationship is going to end. Like some version of that type of thing. Mm-hmm. And that's kind of what happened with my oldest. So they immediately after that, after telling them that I was gay and telling them my story, they took my hand and told me, Baba, I love you no matter who you love. And easily the scariest day of my entire life became one of my favorite, that anyone who asks about my coming out story, I always include that little portion. One, because I'm really proud, so incredibly proud of my children. And two, because it is so simple to love that a child can do it.
Right.
You know, it's so simple to choose love that a child can do it. And that moment just made me feel so special. And so it even furthered my pride in my own identity. The youngest one, she's a firecracker. We call her our spirited child, and she's still very, very spirited. But she had a different, you know, I just told her that I was gay because I didn't, you know, I had to explain to her what, she was five, you know, so she's like, I think her understanding was a little bit more like primary of, and we used Moon's kind of my oldest child's definition to kind of like use that as the basis to explain it to her. And she was like, okay. And then 2 weeks later, we went to the Burlington Pride Parade. And all of us as a family, with my ex and the kids. And I was in medical school at that point, so I even wore my like white coat to go to the Pride Parade. And my youngest brought home like 20 flags, 20 like rainbow flags, and put them all over the house. And the next week was her birthday party. So her friends all came over, and she wanted to keep the flags up. And she came in, showed her, you know, we had decorated, she went on like a floral theme. So we decorated the houses with flowers and stuff. And all her friends loved all the rainbow flags, and they were so excited about it. And they asked her, they were like, Amelie, where did you get all these flags? And her immediate response, she was like, oh, they're from my dad's gays.
Oh, cute.
He just thought all the gays belonged to me. Oh. Which is really
if
funny.
Only.
Yeah. If only. Yeah, exactly. So cute. I think, and then the other big thing from Amelie was that when we moved to San Francisco, she went into second grade, and she had to write like a little autobiography about herself. And we went to an open house at her school and saw that for the first time ever, she had described our family, you know? Our family was her gay dad and her mom and her stepdad. And it was the first time I got to see my own child's pride in me and unapologetic kind of like self and determination in front of all her peers. And till this day, the kids, all their friends know I'm gay. They all call me queen.
That's adorable.
Yes. They're like, hello, queen, you know, so, which I'm very happy to, you know, identify as.
You answer to it.
Yes, that's 100%. Snap, snap, you know. And in terms of my relationship with their mom, me and her have become best friends, 100%, like without a doubt. She is someone I call and text every single day, every single day. It's almost like not a complete day if I don't talk to Firdaus, and it feels weird when that doesn't happen. Her husband, she remarried this burly, beautiful Vermonter who moved to California and got married to her when we moved here. And they live about 10 minutes away from me. He is, I think for me, I would describe him as like someone who is all heart. He wouldn't admit it, but he is very, very loving. And his core is goodness. And he loves people for who they are. And when it comes to my sexuality, he is so incredibly supportive of my identity. And, you know, I love making him laugh and making gay jokes around him. I think he loves it too. We get along really well. We had our moments, like, let that be known. The first 3 years of all of us kind of like coexisting was, I wouldn't say hot mess, like they were just hard, trying to navigate lots of things, like him coming into this existing relationship where me and her still had a really good friendship going on because we didn't feel like our marriage was like split up because we, you know, were at each other's, you know, wits all the time. We didn't argue as much. So kind of a weird situation. But I think as their relationship grew, so did ours. Mm-hmm. And they frequent my house for dinner all the time. I go over to their house for dinner. We go on vacations together. We go out on the weekends together with the kids. The kids spend half time with me and half time with them. We have I would say, pretty ideal situation, which I'm very incredibly, incredibly, incredibly thankful for. And I don't think that my own ability to be out and proud and even active in the gay community here in SF would be anywhere if it wasn't for them too as well. They have a huge role in my identity, in being proud, unapologetic, unashamed of who I am.
Oh, that's incredible. That's incredible as a journey.
Thank you. Thank you so much. I'm very, very, very thankful. And I recognize my privilege because I realize that a lot of people don't have a similar experience to me. And yeah, I mean, I think I wish I was closer to, I wish I had more acceptance from my family's end, but I've just learned to navigate my family. I still love my siblings and I still love my parents, but it's something that we have just all learned to just not talk about. My siblings, it's a little bit easier. My siblings have gotten to the point where they make jokes about me being gay, which I think is like...
That's progress.
Yes.
Yeah. That's real progress.
It's a huge progress. Huge progress. And yeah, I look forward one day to introducing them to my future partner.
And then I'm curious about... So I'm asking this because it was revelatory for me to connect to other queer people in affinity spaces, right? Specifically for me, the most resonant were the queer Muslim spaces because that was, I mean, I grew up in like the Gulf States, right? And being around like a mix of people from the Muslim world who were also queer, that was just so transformative for me, just this idea that that's even possible. And I'm curious whether you've made connections like that.
Yes. I think that as I progressed in developing pride in my own identity as a gay man, and not only as a gay man, but as a gay Muslim, I was very determined to find people like me. Because at this point, I knew that I wasn't the only one. There's lots of people. And so even just like quick Google searches and finding Muslim, like gay Muslim organizations, queer Muslim organizations, queer Crescent, like there's so many that existed in my mind was blown. Never in a million years would I thought that I would find, you know, queer Muslims that were like me. And I connected online with an organization called Queer Crescent, which is here in the Bay. And they had circles, Ramadan circles that I attended. And then that was my kind of like real true introduction back into like being actively spiritual after kind of like being away for a long period of time. And then I found a organization, kind of like a group of like a men's, that's a gay Middle Eastern men's support group in San Francisco.
Oh, where, fantastic.
Yeah. And that has been the most, I would say starting that has been the most transformative and identity strengthening experience because there's people that are just like me there in front of my eyes. You know, people who are real, who have lived experiences, people who, when I talk about my kind of like experiences with my family, they get it right away. It's not like explaining to like other, you know, people who grew up in the US, like what it's like. They truly, truly get it at the core. Yeah. This like intersectionality between being Arab, Muslim, and American. And it's frankly through them that I've developed even further pride in identifying as a gay Muslim and now realize there's so many people who are like me. And now with like social media and things like that, like I get messaged.
Right.
I get messages on Instagram all the time from people around the world, literally around the world, random gay Muslims who create fake gay account, fake Instagram accounts that because they don't want to be discovered. And I respect their privacy and have talked to people on the phone that I've never met before. Wow. Just, and some of them just want to hear my story, like literally just want to hear my story because I think it's a lot of them don't want to be alone and they want to know that someone else is like them out there and that there's a possibility that I could be out, you know, and I've helped many people kind of like grow in their own identities. I've helped people kind of understand that marriage may not necessarily be an option for them. And then I've also just helped people know that like, there's not coming out isn't for everyone. You don't have to come out. You know, for some people coming out is like really dangerous. It's really life threatening. And so those are real things. And so, but just having someone to talk to and being an example of someone, you know, like hashtag goals, like, you know, like someone that you could be like is, I think, enough for some folks.
So what would you say to, well, okay, so I can ask this in a couple of different ways. Either what would you say to your younger self or what would you say to young people who are struggling in similar ways that you did?
Yeah. I think the hardest thing is, it would be really hard, I think, for me to talk to my younger self, to be honest, because I think I was so stubborn and that so stubborn and set in my ways that like I tried to do everything possible to not come out. And so like, I don't think I could have really said anything that could have changed how I developed. And I think a part of that was because the community I grew up in was so dogmatic in our approach. So if anything, I would just ask people, like, you know, have an open mind when it comes to interacting with the queer community. And I think that's the basic thing I would say. A lot of people write gay Muslims off as like not real Muslims, and that they're just like picking and choosing what they think is right from the religion when everyone else does the same thing, you know. But it's just delegitimizing their existence. And one thing, you know, I would say is that, you know, even if you don't agree with someone's whatever, you know, you still owe them your sense of humanity. And I think that's the biggest thing that I would just humanize yourself. And if there's a couple other things I could tell myself, it's like, do not be ashamed and do not carry the guilt that you carry because there's no reason to. And things get better.
I mean, they do get better. It's now a cliche, right?
Yeah.
And they do get better.
They do get better.
That's really beautiful. Yeah. Thank you for sharing that. A lot of what you said is gonna stay with me.
Thank you. Thank you very much.
I mean, we're at a particular point in you know, the history of the United States and the world right now. And, you know, I know that you're a pediatrician and there's things that you probably encounter there. And that's also a big gear shift from what we've been talking about.
Yeah, but also so incredibly relevant. You know, I think I would say I want to try to keep this relevant to the Muslim community because I think that sometimes Muslims are stuck in this like
us and them. Yeah.
Like us and them mentality, but also more so like democratically like liberal but morally conservative and aligned with a lot of like Republican values that way. So and with that comes, you know, how do you deal with like queer people, you know? And so I think now more than ever it's really important for Muslims to just show love for their queer brothers and sisters, whether they agree with anything that or not, to show them support. I feel like it's really hard for me to go to a mosque again. Part of it is because, you know, I don't feel like it is a place where I can thrive or grow or even feel safe. And I think that speaks loudly. Like if someone who is out and proud and older and was really involved in the Muslim community can't go to a mosque, then how is it that like, you know, anyone else who may not have that kind of like privilege how will they feel, you know, at our community centers? There have been so many allies that have reached out and have asked me specifically, like, how to create a safe space in our mosque. And I said, you know, I don't think that you can do it yourself, but what you can do is continue to talk about and normalize being queer. I think that's the biggest thing, is normalizing being queer and Muslim at the same time. Because one thing that it is not right now, it is not normal. And everyone sees queer Muslims as freak shows and the fringe Muslims, or not, like, they're not real Muslims. Like, you can't be gay and you can't be Muslim at the same time. And so I just want people to have a little bit more empathy and towards the experience of queer people. Because while you, you know, say things that invalidate their existence, they're also hearing it from every other angle, including their own families, their, you know, community members, or in some parts of this country, their surroundings, their friends who don't support them being queer, their classrooms, their teachers, whatever. So in our political day and age, like, it is especially for younger Muslim youth. And as a pediatrician, you know, like, we work with queer, trans, and non-binary patients in the hospital all the time. And the rates of suicide and mental health decline has skyrocketed over the past couple of years with COVID and with, you know, the recent attacks on the trans community. So all over the country, and the bigotry that has existed with the Trump administration. So I just ask people to be kind and merciful towards others.
Wow, thank you. Thank you for sharing your story.
Thank you so much, Lena. I am so appreciative of the opportunity and the space and the reach. I mean, the work that you're doing is so incredibly phenomenal. And I never thought, like, you know, as I'm thinking back to, like, my 16-year-old self, and never thought that there would be someone who would want to talk to queer Muslims about their identities. So thank you so much. We owe a lot of gratitude to you.
Thank you, Mo. It's my pleasure.
Oh my God. Are you a puddle on the floor? Because I am a puddle on the floor. Please share this, follow Mo, follow us, or leave us a review on Apple Podcasts. Thank you so much for listening. Until next time.